Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
97.1 FM Talk.
On-demand audio.
The Mark Cox Morning Show.
Listen to both sides.
The bottom line is,
I respect that we don't agree.
You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show.
Just to find a voice.
Who is this guy? He's saying what we've been saying forever.
I don't know how to put this.
Mark Cox.
I'm kind of a big deal.
Well, it adds excitement, doesn't it, folks?
The Mark Cox Shortlist, brought to you by Eggers Heating and Air Conditioning. Call Eggers.com.
The notion that Bill Barr should resign is about the dumbest damn thing I have ever heard.
They're vicious, that they shouldn't have brought impeachment.
James, in all due respect, is a political hack.
I have a document here that's a smoking gun.
I bill myself as the un-Trump.
We don't feel no ways tired. We've come too far from where we started.
Oh, that's an applause line.
Hey, good morning to you. Glad you're with us on this Thursday morning. Looks like we're keeping an eye on the roads. Saw lots of salt trucks out this morning as the temperature starts to drop. It was still in the mid-30s on my way in.
Yeah, it's still 32 downtown, but I'm seeing it's starting to drop.
Little wet, but that was about it. Kind of a mist falling this morning when I was driving in, but I didn't encounter any problems coming west on 40. So hopefully, wherever you are, I know they were expecting the possibility of if there was going to be snow, it being a little further to the north. So maybe some of our friends up there got hit with something. But I think your drive in this morning is going to be in pretty good shape. So glad you're with us. We got an update on Bomeister yesterday, right? Did I pronounce his name right that time?
Yeah. Bomeister, yes, you got it.
And they haven't released a lot of details yet, though, on what the cardiac situation was, just that he had a cardiac event.
That's all they're saying, really, because he's still undergoing testing. He's still hospitalized in Anaheim, so they're still running tests, and obviously they're not going to be premature about releasing details. Yeah.
You know, I've remember cases like that in the past, and it's a sensitive subject for these athletes that are paid millions of dollars a year to play a sport like that. If word gets out that they've got some sort of a heart problem, I mean, that's the end of your playing days. Nobody's going to be willing to invest millions of dollars in you. That's frightening for all of them.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Hopefully that's not the case.
Yeah. Well, let's hope that's not the case. I thought that they were very guarded in what they said yesterday, is why I bring that up, and just said that we'll hold a news conference tomorrow for sports questions. No more questions about this. When we get more information, we'll release it to you.
I mean, Alex Pietrangelo got up and spoke, just saying that he had an opportunity. They the whole team FaceTimed him, and so obviously he's responding and texting people back, and so that's all signs point to positive. So
good. And something else that should warm you up. I saw some great video yesterday, and I know our friends down the hall at Camelback Sports are down there, but pitchers and catchers reported. So spring training is underway, and they're evaluating players, and it won't be long. I mean, it'll be a couple months, but still, that means warm weather's just around the corner. That's a good
thing.
They're
definitely in warm weather in Florida. So good for them. And it's nice to see the pictures of them tossing the ball around and warming up and getting ready.
Yep.
Yeah, we've got some colleagues down there right now, too.
Yeah.
Those should be fun. Ducks. No kidding.
We went wrong somewhere with this politics thing.
Maybe they can send us down to do some politics from Florida.
You know, that was
the politics of spring training.
Yes.
That's true. A long time ago, when I still considered, I looked at sports as a career when I went into broadcasting. Mm-hmm. I did. And then I looked at the fact that in most television newsrooms, at the time, there were two, maybe three sports reporters, and there were probably 10 to 15 news reporters. So you had the odds were stacked against you of getting one of those three jobs. You had a better job of getting one of the 15 where you're covering news, because it was just a bigger side of the department. But I remember regretting that on occasion a couple of different times. once when our sports guys got to go to the Super Bowl because I lived in Dayton and the Bengals had gone to the Super Bowl. And the second time was I took my kid to spring training to see a Cardinals game, I don't know, 8 years ago. And our friend Brian Feldman, who fills in here for us occasionally, was a sports reporter, weekend sports guy for Channel 4 at the time. And he was down there for, I don't know, 3 weeks, living down there, covering the Cardinals, spring training,
working.
I caught up with him when I was down there and hung out with him a little bit. And that's tough work if you can get it. Just go on every day and say, oh, you know, talk to Yachty this morning, talk to Carpenter, interviewed Waino. I mean, it's what a great life.
But when you only know Kentucky basketball, Mark, the demand isn't really
You
did narrow your
lane
chances.
Was narrow. Yes.
Now, you have stereotyped me as a single
You have stereotyped yourself.
Individual.
I really only follow Kentucky basketball, but
sports, what is it?
I was not as passionate about sports as a lot of the folks I knew who went into sports reporting, which is one reason I went the other way, because I was more passionate about other things.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah.
But however, I think had I just landed in the Lexington, Kentucky market, I would have been great. Can I just point that out? Thank you. I would have flourished down there. I remember when my wife and I were dating and we were talking about our hopes and dreams and where we'd like to retire someday.
Yeah.
And you said she Kentucky? Said beach and I said, nice little horse farm outside of Lexington. And she looked at me like I had two heads. Mm-hmm. Like, what?
Yeah,
why?
With her.
Beach
why?
Wins.
I'm like, I don't know, season tickets to the Kentucky basketball games? That'd be great.
Per usual, I'm with your wife on this one.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, I'm getting kind of used to it. That's all right. Hey, lots going on to talk about today. We're going to get Randy Tobler in here a little bit later. I got Jim Talent and Ann Wagner both in the 7 o'clock hour, so be sure and stay tuned for that. We'll talk about, you know, one thing we have to talk about today is the Roger Stone story. Really, that was the story that rocked the headlines yesterday. And you know, these days, everything is an overreaction. Everything about Donald Trump is an overreaction on the left. And you've actually got people today using the impeachment word again in connection with this president and this sentencing recommendation to a very liberal judge who probably will ignore the recommendation anyway. And that's the reason they've now found that they need to go back to impeachment of Donald Trump. It's the people have just lost their minds. Their derangement syndrome is so bad. So we're going to get to all that and more. Tomorrow's a big day. Tomorrow is going to be huge. Can I just tell you that? We got a couple of big things going on. We're going to have a guest in studio that I can't identify yet, but it's going to be big. So stay tuned for that.
This is like the Mask Singer.
It's true.
Of the Mark Cox Morning Show.
It's going to be, except he won't be wearing a mask. So it'll be big. It's going to be big tomorrow. Plus, we're giving away two sets of tickets to the Rolling Stones.
Or one if I can get my hands on the other set.
Potentially, we're giving away two sets of tickets to the Rolling Stones
allegedly.
Tomorrow as well. I know. Friday's going to be a huge day.
Yeah,
we
that's
are.
Cool.
I think they're giving away a pair on Annie's show and another. They're going to give away two pair on Glover's show, right?
Yep. And so, 2 in the morning.
It's a day of Rolling Stones tickets on FM News Talk 97.1 tomorrow. If you don't want to go down and pay face value, get your dialing fingers ready.
I'm already so jealous of our winners.
I know.
I love you guys, but I want your tickets.
The Mark Cox Morning Show on the air and streaming at 97.1talk.com.
No, you have not accidentally hit the search button on your radio dial and gone to a different station.
Or radio.com. You're still on 97.1.
You're still on 97.1, yes. Despite the bump music you're hearing here, because I lost again.
Yes, you did.
Denise has the day off tomorrow, so we're playing her favorite hits today. What is this we're playing?
Well, this is Phoenix, but it's some sort of weird remix of the song. But that's okay. Phoenix.
Reminds me of Valentine's Day for some reason. I don't know why. Maybe it's because it's tomorrow. You think that could be it? Sounds like a.
You're asking me to navigate logic.
I didn't know.
Sure.
Is there such thing as Valentine's music other than just like a love song?
Like Barry
this
White
isn't
or something.
A
Maybe
love
we should
song.
Play some Barry White.
You can do anything you want tomorrow.
Oh!
We'll have all the Valentine's Day music you want tomorrow.
Play Cut 31 for the people, because we have an opportunity for you, and it's not too late for you to take advantage of this. Oops.
It is if I can't get my
computer on.
Hey guys, it's Sean Spicer with an amazing deal. This month, for the entire month of February, my videos that normally cost $400, over 50% off, $199 is going to give you the best Valentine's Day gift ever. What way to say I love you, I'm thinking of you, this Valentine's Day, in a video from me.
What
better way?
So for $199, Sean Spicer will record a video that you can give to your love, your significant other.
Is this a personalized video that Sean Spicer is like, hey, your SO loves you.
Hey, Tina, Steve really loves you. This is why he paid me to record this. Happy Valentine's Day.
You're going to be short on rent this month, but you've got a Sean Spicer video.
But he's not. The good thing about this, I thought it was kind of funny that he thinks anybody thinks a video from him is worth $199.
I know, I was going to say, this should be like
it's a
$5.
It's a fundraiser.
It should be nothing.
The Independence Fund provides all-terrain wheelchairs for veterans in need. And Anthony Scaramucci, the Mooch, who I'm not a very big fan of these days, quite frankly, but the Mooch, hold on, where is it? The Mooch is also offering one for $100. Anthony Scaramucci will do one
even
for
more
you.
Of a discount.
Got a Mooch, will you do the Fandango?
And also Omarosa is selling one for $49. Now, two of these three people do not deserve to be in the same room together.
Three of these three people do not need to be selling videos of themselves.
Corey Lewandowski will sell one for $55.
There's another one.
And Tommy Lahren will sell one for $80, where she'll do a specific video for you regarding. And apparently, the money is all going. Raise wheelchairs or to build wheelchairs for
Mark. See, I see an opportunity here for you to make some money either for yourself or a charity of your choice by doing some videos.
If we can, if there's a market for it, I'll do it. I just can't imagine people want to spend their hard earned money to hear me tell their, they can just tune in 5 days a week, 4 hours a day, and hear me say, hey, happy Valentine's Day.
I respect the effort. Obviously, it's a good cause and they're trying to do something good. I think Sean Spicer has priced himself out of.
Right,
video making.
Of making any, money for said charity.
Maybe.
I also think that if you're going to do it for a good cause, that you do it for a price that's affordable, something that people would actually
jump on
board.
Yes.
Those are steep. Like $25. Maybe you have to do 1,000 of them. Sorry, that's your donation or contribution if you're not putting up the money.
I like Spicer, but I can't look at him anymore without thinking of that Melissa McCarthy skit on SNL, where she dressed up like Sean Spicer.
It was hilarious.
From Dancing with the Stars. He had some good costumes from Dancing with the Stars.
Yes.
I think for some reason I'm picturing him with like yellow ruffles on.
But I love that he made a comeback on Dancing with the Stars.
People SNL liked him. It really did a good thing. It was good for him.
Yeah. SNL tanked him.
They either loved him or they hated him, though, right? Because they would show video of him on, like, MSNBC and make fun of him.
Well, he wasn't a good dancer, but he stuck around a lot longer than most people thought. And it had to have been because he was endearing to the people that were calling in to vote for him. So I think it wasn't a bad PR move for him to do the show.
Yeah, I guess. And other news that you probably don't care a lot about, but I'm going to tell you anyway, because I played the bite the other day where Snoop Dogg basically threatened CBS anchor Gail King over the whole Kobe death story that she did.
Right.
He apparently has reconsidered, went to the dispensary, got his fix, got stoned, and decided he needed to apologize.
Gail King.
I probably tore you down by coming at you in a derogatory manner based off of emotions, me being angry at questions that you asked.
Overreacted.
I should have handled it way different than that. I was raised way better than that. So I would like to apologize to you publicly.
I have no idea what was going on with his phone. That was an Instagram video, and he kept getting closer and further away.
I have a feeling Oprah maybe made a phone call to Snoop Dogg and said, you need to say something. My friend Gayle King is not doing very well.
I don't think anybody was on his side after when it all came down.
Again, the overreaction. I'm just stunned.
Has she been back on the air?
Yeah, okay. She's been back. And they have, you know, it's weird. It's like a dysfunctional relationship because there's been no mention of it on CBS. It's just talked about everywhere else. It's just kind of weird. Hey, coming up, Dr. Randy Tobler, who apparently has gone to Washington, D.C., for all I know, he's going to be coming to us live from the Oval Office this morning. We're going to find out when we come back.
You know, we're not going to take our options off the table. We don't wake up in the morning wanting to impeach him. You know, we want to work with him on prescription drugs, background checks, and infrastructure. But we're not going to let him just, you know, torch this democracy because he thinks that he's been let off once and we're not going to do something about it.
They're full of crap. Hey, Uncle Sam, put your name
at the top of his list and a statue. Dr. Randy Tobler joining us this morning from the swamp, where it sounds like some of these crazies like Swalwell are pushing impeachment again. Randy, what do you think?
Yeah, no surprise. I mean, they telegraphed that the minute that the vote was over last week. So it's no surprise. That's what they do. And meanwhile, all of the swamp creatures are trying to recreate health care and top-down command and control, man. I am witnessing it firsthand here in D.C. this week. It's really something to behold.
What are you there for? And tell us what you found.
Yeah, you know, as you know, I practiced probably half my career in suburban urban setting there in Metro, and now in rural Missouri, and we're advocating for rural health care, which is on life support in many in many communities throughout Missouri. Seven hospitals have closed in the last 5 years, and rural Missourians, and how many St. Louisans don't have some connection with a rural Missourian or a rural Illinoisan in our audience, you know? And it's just access to care and quality care and the cost of care and all the things we talk about on the national scene. It's impacting rural communities a lot more. So it's funny. Mark, do you like soup?
I do like soup. Vegetable soup? What are we talking about?
I like soup, too. Do you like to make soup, Mark?
I can honestly say I probably never made soup, personally. Yeah.
Well, my wife likes to make soup, and you know what? When I start to get in, and the kids used to help try to make the soup, we found that too many chefs spoil the soup, and that's what I'm finding is going on in healthcare, Mark, because we at this conference we're at, we're having all the administrators, the regulators, the top-down command and control people in Washington, D.C., and you wouldn't believe the beehive of activity. I'm sure you've been in the Capitol. Certainly you've been there as a journalist. Maybe others in the audience have been there, lobbying for this or that cause. But the things that you and I talk about every day, about small-r republicanism, about, you know, return the power to we the people at the lowest common denominator jurisdiction of governance that you can, is so boldly displayed today, how important that concept is now more than ever. The regulators, let's give them the benefit of the doubt that these soup stirrers are trying to do the right thing, that they're well-intended, that they want everyone to get great health care at the right price and great quality. And you sit there, and I am the only administrator and CEO and physician sitting at the table often in these lobbying groups. And everyone else at the table is what I would call the barnacle on the ship. God love them. Great people. But they're people that are consulting, administering, helping doctors and patients cope with the tremendous regulatory bureaucracy, the 1984 Orwellian bureaucracy that is separating patients from doctors and from great care. And it's just trying to break through the fog, Mark, is just unbelievable. And it really galvanizes my resolve to continue to fight the fight for getting the power and the money out of Washington. And Americans who even begin to think about backing a candidate like a Bernie Sanders or Pete or Joe, anyone with a D on their name, and frankly, many with an R on their name, have got to start asking these fundamental questions before they support them with their vote or with their money.
People need to
believe in divesting power or in accumulating more power, senator, candidate for representative, et cetera.
So you're right. I mean, to your point, you've given the top three or four candidates right now have a minus Buttigieg. The ones that have served in federal office probably have 90 or 100 years of collective federal service under their belt. They were all there to vote for Obamacare for the most part, which was passed with the intent of forcing us into a single payer system. Randy, where's the common sense going to come from here?
I don't know, but I have to tell you, I mean, I think that what's heartening is when we had some time with Senator Blunt and his legislative health care affairs person, wonderful lady. And similarly, we didn't get a chance to see Senator Hawley, but did spend some time with his legislative affairs person in health care. And they are properly recognizing that, boy, these Obamacare plans have just decimated what was a fairly stable system, and they didn't need to just disrupt it and throw a hand grenade in it. And I think they're getting that message now. And like I said, I think the rural experience is just the canary in the coal mine. You know, to their credit, they're recognizing that things like expanding broadband access, which is something that the federal government probably should be involved in, sort of like in the Constitution. You know, what can the federal government do? Okay, a postal service, roads, borders, you know, the things that it takes a federal government to do. But when it comes to the interaction between Mark and his doctor, or Denise and her doctor, or Trish and her doctor, or Randy and his doctor, that's a different thing. And the feds need to, yes, provide the infrastructure so that telehealth can be done and all the internet technology that's needed to advance, you know, those great care diagnoses and treatment processes. But boy, getting in the weeds of the individual interaction and trying to manipulate the finances of medicine is just a disaster. And I think our delegation seems to understand that. The problem is, you know, here we are in flyover country, and I'm getting the sense that, especially in the House, we are just pretty much overlooked. Thank God we have prominent senators where Josh and Roy are just really, you know, prominent, both, you know, on the media and certainly in leadership positions with Senator Blunt. So, well, I'm optimistic.
We're going to have Congresswoman Wagner on a little later. You know, the House is back to the hard work of the people. Yesterday they passed another version of the Equal Rights Amendment in the House. That's what they've been concentrating on over there, things that really impact the day-to-day lives of American citizens.
Yeah. I will say that the Ways and Means Committee, Jason Smith from down in the Boot Heel area, and I think, you know, our signal spreads down that 55 corridor quite a ways as well. We met with Jason Smith, a great congressman from the Boot Heel area, and boy, he's had several hospital closings in his area. But he's on the Ways and Means Committee, and they have passed out of that committee just yesterday a surprise billing bill. And that's one of the things that I think the government can be involved in, is protecting patients from surprise billing on the part of, let's say, a radiologist or a pathologist who you may go to the hospital and you're in network at the hospital, but then the radiologist or the other, you know, some other physician you see may not be, and you get this surprise bill. And I think there's going to be some movement there. So we're keeping an eye on that and trying to make sure that, as best we can, we keep these we keep the swamp creatures in control.
Well,
we keep them working for the people and not for the insurance companies.
People need to watch their wallets, Randy, because I'll tell you what's coming down the pike. I read today that the folks that are trying to expand Medicaid in Missouri, and make no mistake about this, what it's going to do is force a tax increase on the state of Missouri for the residents, because right now there's no way we can afford it, has already gotten about 75% of the signatures they need on the petition to put it on the ballot, which means there's almost 100% chance at this point that people are going to have to vote on that. If there's no organized effort opposing it, the Catholic Church, I read, has come out in favor of it, and several other groups that could care less what it costs the taxpayer. And you know, I don't know if that's been a subject of discussion in your circles or not, but it's coming.
Well, for fairly valid reasons, the Missouri Hospital Association is actually in favor of it, because the amount of uncompensated, one way or another, Mark, people who are insured are going to pay for uninsured folks. And you're either going to pay for it through your commercial insurance rates going up, or your deductibles and coinsurance rates going up, or through Medicaid expansion. Now, in Missouri, actually, there is a provider tax for EMS, skilled nursing facilities, you know, nursing homes and hospitals, where we self-impose a tax that then gets redistributed to, for instance, hospitals and community centers in urban and rural settings that are underfunded because of the uncompensated care that they give. And we give a ton of it. And so this is one thing we've been fighting for is in Missouri, we have a pretty good system of actually paying for things that don't come from the taxpayers' pockets.
Right.
For a large share of the Medicaid share out of a provider tax. So what Missouri is trying to do in the healthcare industry is protect against a tax increase through some creative waivers and other, you know, granting processes. So it's a complex discussion, but we'll be talking about it on the air as things come closer to election.
We'll certainly do it. Hey, have fun up there in Washington. Be safe.
I've got my off because the swamp bugs are eating me alive.
I'm sure. Randy Tobler, thanks you, my friend. We appreciate it. We'll be listening Saturday morning 6 to 8 as well. One-third of the current budget for the state of Missouri is how much Medicaid expansion would cost. One-third. That bullet train is headed for your wallet, just so you know, come November when they get it on the ballot. So what a man gotta do,
what a man gotta do. I don't feel no ways tired.
Oh. She's ready to go. And apparently so is Joe Biden, right? Joe Biden has released an ad that harkens back to Hillary Clinton's statement in a church one time. You want to play that for me?
We have a tremendous opportunity to take the next great step forward. We don't feel no ways tired. We've come too far from where we started. Nobody told me the road would be easy, and I don't believe he brought me this far to stop now.
I'm not sure that that's the image you want to project right now, Joe.
I just have no idea.
Where did that come from?
How that conversation went to put that out, put that together and put that out.
Hey, what do you two think about the Equal Rights Amendment? Remember that? The ERA back in 1972 is when they first proposed it. Are you familiar with what happened to it? So they gave them 7 years for the Equal Rights Amendment, which would supposedly emblazon into it would amend the Constitution to make sure that women had equal rights as men across the board, even though I didn't know that they didn't. But this is what it would have done. But they had 7 years to get 37 states to ratify it for it to become an amendment. And it never did. It finally got up to like 35 states. They extended the deadline a couple of years past the original 7 years when it passed in 72, and they never achieved it. Except this year when Virginia overturned its legislature, they voted to ratify the Equal Rights Amendment, which was technically the 37th state, because Nevada had done the same thing a couple years ago. The House of Representatives voted yesterday to erase the deadline so that now the ERA amendment would be ratified, now that the 37th state. What they've ignored, and Ruth Bader Ginsburg pointed out yesterday, is that since then, 5 states have gone back and rejected that vote. The legislatures have overridden the vote, so it's actually back down to like 32. Even if they did pass this extension or erase the deadline, it could never happen. We're going to talk to Ann Wagner about all this. Because it's rearing its head again in the House. That's what they're working on in the House of Representatives right now, trying to erase the deadline for the Equal Rights Amendment.
Get more at 971talk.com. Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.